Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I feel like, you know, I can win. I've proven that I can do it. And I put myself there with a chance to, you know, win the last two major championships of the year last year. And I was right there and just needed to have a couple more things go my way and not throw away a couple shots here and there, which I was able to do at East Lake. And I just feel like that I've improved a lot over the past about 12, 14 months. But I've, more than anything, I've just proven to myself that I can play at this level again. And I've worked my way back into, you know, one of the players that can win events.
Tiger waits. It's interesting that
Middays on the Score.
I don't have to tell you who that was. I think you know. You probably know who this guy is, too. David Dusek is in the clubhouse at Augusta. He is on Twitter at golfweek_Dusek. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great, and you've been watching some of the practice rounds here. You have a unique facility for determining who looks good, who are the horses to be following, who's on your list right now.
You know, I think it's one of those tournaments that every year seems to favor chalk, and I think that with the weather conditions the way they are right now and with the course conditions being exceptionally soft, I mean, I walked around about 10 or 12 holes this morning, and the conditions are soft. It's going to look fantastic, as it always does on television, but if you get outside the ropes, there's a lot of mud and slippery areas and a lot of squishing around because we've got a little bit, about an inch and a half of rain over the last 2 days. It's beautiful today, but we've had a lot of rain, and that tends to favor the longer, bigger hitters. So you're looking at players like Dustin Johnson. You're looking at guys like Rory McIlroy, possibly somebody like Brooks Koepka or Bubba Watson, who's got a couple green jackets already. So it's going to be a big hitter's paradise. It always is. But I think this year, those are the types of players that are going to really excel, and I look for them to be probably right up near the top of the leaderboard right from day one.
I know the conversation starts with Tiger when you do an interview like this, but should it? I mean, you've got a couple of favorites there in the chalk. I don't know how you feel about where Tiger is right now.
You know, I don't know that I've seen enough consistency from Tiger over the course of this year. I mean, it would be a great story for him to win a fifth green jacket. Don't get me wrong. It would be the sort of penultimate or the last really sort of thing to the comeback that we saw. I mean, I was at East Lake during the Tour Championship back in September, and to see the crowds rushing behind him as he walked down 18 was unbelievable. And he'll get tons of support from the patrons here, as he always does. But I have not seen him be able to put together, you know, three or four really good rounds of golf so far this season. He is an elite ball striker right now. His iron play is definitely worthy of somebody who should be considered. But I don't know that his putting has been consistent enough at this point. He hits the ball far enough, and you can spray it around a little bit here. There's no rough to speak of at Augusta National. There's a second cut, so if you miss the fairway, the penalty is much more that you have a bad angle, and then you're in deep rough that we associate usually with U.S. Opens. So you can get away with that, but I just don't know that his game has been sharp enough to beat, you know, so many people right now that are playing at an elite level. And really, the guy I'm thinking about is Rory McIlroy, and I think that's sort of the standard right now. And I think that McIlroy has an edge on Tiger, at least this week, as we play the Masters.
When I look at the storylines that I just want as a fan, I would love to be able to be rooting for Ricky Fowler on Sunday. I would, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. But that's just somebody who you want it to happen for him, and while he still is at the peak of his athletic powers, how far away is he?
Not far at all. Not far at all. I think that Ricky won earlier this year in Phoenix at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He's the complete package. You know, he has knocked on the door here a few times. He was runner-up last year to Patrick Reed. He has played in the final groups in majors. He's played Ryder Cup. He has played President's Cup. He has done everything that contenders usually do before they finally break through. Every once in a while, we get somebody who just comes like a bolt of lightning and gets it. But usually, you have to sort of taste that pressure and that kind of circumstance before you finally break through. He's shot low rounds here at Augusta. He is somebody who I think could totally win, and he, I can also add to you, would be one of the most popular winners in the clubhouse. As far as the other players, everybody would be very happy. Obviously, every player wants to win himself, but if you ask, like, who else or who would you like to see if it's not going to be you? Ricky Fowler would be one of the most first picks for sure. Everybody's buddies with him, and it would be an enormous win for him and be a very popular one.
Masters starts tomorrow. We'll talk with David Dusek, who is in the clubhouse at Augusta. David, you can find him at golfweek_Dusek. I don't mean to take you into the golf's hot takery here, so I apologize if we head close to this, but Brooks Koepka's weight loss, 24 pounds, and I guess he's down 12 yards or so on the drive, still 15th on tour in terms of drive distance or average distance. Does it concern you? Does it bother you? Is that something that would take you off of the guy?
I followed him around earlier today. I mean, we were sort of talking about some of these guys. He's playing and finishing up his practice down right now. He's playing with Stuart Hovland, who's the reigning U.S. amateur champion, a guy from Oklahoma State who's buddies with Ricky Fowler, who went to Oklahoma State. The three of them were out there, along with Dustin Johnson. And it's a noticeable difference in seeing Brooks Koepka. I hadn't seen him in a couple of months. And to me, it's something that he was already supremely fit. And that was one of the real advantages, I think, to him. Not only that it helped him to hit the ball really far, but mentally, when you know that you were that fit, it gives you supreme confidence in the fact that you are able to overcome something. It's almost symbolic of the discipline and the work you've put into your craft. A lot of guys go out and hit buckets of balls and do that, and they've been doing it for years and years out here. But Koepka won his U.S. Opens with mental fortitude as much as with physical skills and that inner strength. And right now, to me, that's a big thing. If you've won three major championships over the last 2 years, as he has, two U.S. Opens and a PGA championship, you have clearly come up with a winning recipe for championship golf. And why you would tinker with that is beyond me. Mm-hmm. And anything, you know, of significance, like this amount of weight loss or change in your fitness regimen and your diet, to me is just hazardous. And if he isn't able to get himself back into fitness, he was living on 1,800 calories, and which is, you know, if you're somebody who medically needs to lose weight, that's another story. He didn't. And he's tinkering with something that he may look back on 10, 20 years from now saying, you know what, 2019 could have been good, but I screwed that up.
That's like skinny Duffner. When he lost weight, like, this looks weird, there's something wrong with this, and it didn't help him either.
There's a long history of guys who've lost a significant amount of weight who it really messed with their games. And sometimes you look at them, and it's probably better for their overall fitness and health. But as far as their game, I always remember there was a guy who lost a bunch of weight, and it was one of the things where lots of them, they've all gone to heck. Craig Stadler, who won here a Masters Championship, lost a bunch of weight. His game went to hell, and then he put the weight back on, and his game came back. Carl Peterson, this is a really funny one, was a good player about 10 years ago on the PGA Tour, won a couple of events, lost about 35 pounds. His game went away, and then he gained the weight all back and got his game back. And I asked him, well, how did you put the weight back on? He's like, oh, that's easy. I'll have a pint of Haagen-Dazs and a six-pack before bed every night. Putting weight on is easy. So, you know, it's. But in the other way, like, Koepka didn't need to lose weight. He was one of the fittest, if not the fittest guys, and prided himself on that. So anytime you, like I said, you tinker with success, to me that's just crazy.
You mentioned the mental fortitude being something that is as significant as physical, and it's amazing that for somebody as good at golf and as consistently competitive as Matt Kuchar is, there's something that we just don't include him in some of these conversations. Is that just because we don't think he has it in him one way or another?
I don't think that we necessarily reward consistency and having an overall good game the way that we reward people who have a spectacular aspect to their game. And when you watch Dustin or Rory McIlroy hit a drive, it's another world experience. I mean, these guys vaporize the golf ball. You can immediately see, like, oh, well, that's why this guy wins. And Jason Day, when he holds every putt, like, oh, that's how he gets done. That's how he wins tournaments. And when you watch Matt Kuchar play, he doesn't hit the ball as far as a lot of guys. He doesn't hit these towering iron shots, you know, like Tiger Woods does. He's got a nice short game. He makes putts usually, but he's one of those guys that has virtually no weakness. And the modern game is not necessarily built around players who have a complete, consistent game. It generally rewards guys who are spectacular at something, and maybe they miss a cut here or there, but when they're on, they're just off to the races. They're Secretariat. He is the exception. Mm-hmm. If you think back a few years ago, Luke Donald was another guy who reached number one in the world, and nobody ever thought he was, you know, the favorite to win a major championship because he was a plotter. He was somebody who made putts, chipped it around, kept the ball in play, and that his accountant was very happy because, like, you know, the guy could fall out of bed and get a top 10, a top 5, and Kuchar's the same way. But there's just nothing that arrests your attention with Matt Kuchar's game except for the fact that he is so consistently very, very good.
He's Joey Knish from Rounders. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, no top 10 finishes in the last 15 tournaments for Jordan Spieth, and yet he kind of owns that course. What do I do with Spieth?
You pay that man his money. You're going to go with that fellow Rounders thing. I think here's the thing. I wanted to pick Jordan Spieth coming into here. I really, really did because I believe in Jordan. And I look at the numbers and the analytics, and it just doesn't float through. It's one of those times where the numbers tell you that there's no reason why this player should be taken into consideration. And then I remember, oh, okay, well, in his Masters debut, he's a runner-up to Bubba Watson, and then he wins. And then last year he had a Sunday 64 and ends up, you know, falling a little bit short to Patrick Reed, but he was blistering. And there's something about playing this golf course that sets up well for him. But I don't think the golf course conditions being, like I said, pretty damp, and the course is going to play long and soft. Certainly with Thursday, and we've got some weather that looks like it's going to come in probably on Sunday. That's not good for Jordan Spieth. I just don't know today if he's going to have the horsepower off the tee to keep up with some of the bigger guys. It's going to hurt him. If Jordan Spieth can somehow go out and shoot, for example, 68, which is a 4-under par round, it's a very good round of golf, but it's certainly attainable. If he can shoot 68 Thursday, he's in the last group with Paul Casey and Brooks Koepka. They're going off at 2:00 Eastern time, the last group of the day. If he can do that and be in the tournament to start with, it gets very, very interesting. But if he struggles and shoots 72 or 73, he's not necessarily out of it, but I don't see him coming back. I see him being a force from the beginning and staying there or not really being a story at all.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten to John Rahm yet, if you're talking about guys with the distance who, like, John Rahm is going to win a major.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, and Tommy Fleetwood is going to win a major at some point. Assess the possibility that this could be that one for either of those guys.
I want to see John Rahm get into the heat of it at a major championship and not go loco on the cabeza.
Yeah.
He just gets in his own way mentally. We have seen that too many times. We saw it in the Players where his caddy is just, you know, giving the side eyes when he's playing out of a bunker and he's going for a sucker pin because he is one of the two or three most talented players on the planet when it comes to hitting a golf ball the way that he wants to hit it. He's great. I mean, and I don't use that word. He is a great golfer. He can play stupid shots, and that's the problem. And then he emotionally lets his head get the better of him. And he will readily acknowledge that. It's something he set out as being a goal for the season. He needs to prove it to me, you know, when the chips are all in the middle of the table to go back to Rounders. As far as some of the other guys, Tommy Fleetwood, he hasn't won a PGA Tour event, which doesn't mean he won't, because he will. He's won in Europe, but it'd be pretty amazing to have your first win on U.S. soil be the one that everybody covets the most. It's almost like the story would be too good to be true. But he's great. And his caddy's a funny guy. I've gotten to know them a little bit over the course of the season. He's really talented and a super guy, and if he was born in the U.S., he would be one of the most popular guys in golf out there right now. And I think over time, people will realize the talent. They just haven't seen him here play in the U.S. enough. Unfortunately, he's going to be a part of the European Ryder Cup team for about the next decade,
yep.
And he's going to kick our butt when the chips are on the table for that.
So if I'm reading this right, David, the weather here and the soft conditions that might occur because of it has the field of possible champions for you about as wide as any tournament we've all talked about in the last year and a half.
Yet you say it favors chalk. How do we balance those things?
Okay, so let me give you an example. So here are the last three groups that are going off tomorrow. So 138, 149, 2 o'clock. Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Jason Day, followed by Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas. Last group, Jordan Spieth, Paul Casey, Brooks Koepka. Any of those guys would be capable of winning the Masters.
Wow.
That's chalk. That ninesome right there is an unbelievable group. Those guys could do it. If you look around, there are other players in there that I just don't feel like. I don't think this is Matt Kuchar's kind of a track. I don't think he's long enough, and I don't think he makes enough birdies to be able to do this. Some of the other players, Francesco Molinari.
Your guy, you were all over him. You gave us Molinari.
And I don't think this track sets up well enough for him. He won't back up. But if the golf course is going to play the way I think it's going to play the first 2 days, you're going to need to shoot some pretty good shots. You're going to need to make birdies. And I don't know, even as confidently as he's playing right now, and he should be confident, I don't see him making as many birdies as Ricky and Rory and DJ and possibly Rahm if he gets it going.
Before we let you go, you mentioned DeChambeau, and I don't understand some of the stuff he says because it's just beyond me.
Anybody else.
Well, then I'm going to ask you to do the impossible and translate Bryson DeChambeau, and he was talking about the moisture.
Yep.
And he said it's not – he said for him – it's all, the humidity or the moisture in the air affects the way the ball comes off the face of the club.
What?
And there's distance control based on that elastic impact between the sweet spot and the ball. What is he talking about?
Eight. Here's the way that I can translate it to some degree, and I'm not going to pretend to be able to get into this guy's head because nobody can. But when the air is humid, the ball travels less far because the water vapor that's in the air creates more drag. So if you go out into the desert, for example, you go on vacation, you go to Phoenix, and you hit your normal drive, you're going to probably hit it through the air 10 or 12 yards longer than you do on a muggy day back in Chicago. If you're playing up at Thunderhawk or something like that, you're not going to get the carry. Here in Augusta today, it's crystal clear, blue skies, it's great. And the ball is going to carry nicely, it's sunny, it's wonderful. It's going to hit the soft ground and stop. I mean, it might even plug because it's so soft out there right now. I think what DeChambeau is saying is that when you get water, for example, between the ball and the face, it tends to knock spin off. The ball doesn't spin as much on every club.
It knuckles out of there, okay.
And so you hit this powerful, high knuckleball. And if there's water vapor in the air, it's gonna sort of lose a little bit of distance. But if it's dry in the air but wet on the ground, the ball can really take off because you have a lot less spin.
I'm still incredibly confused.
I'm going to stick with X equals 8, sir.
Makes as much sense as anything else.
This is fun stuff. Really looking forward to this tournament. We always look forward to your appearances before the big ones here on these airwaves.
Hey, David, I've been down here in Georgia. I'm sorry, I know we're about to go long. Do we know anything about Lester?
He'll miss a start or two, injured list, and if they bang the game tonight, David, it looks like they might be able to get out of this month with just skipping one of John Lester's starts. So hopefully,
as the lone Cubs fan in Central Connecticut, let me tell you, I'm keeping a low profile for right now, but I have high hopes.
Ride out the storm,
out
the storm.
I will,
David. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.